Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. Episode 439, Show Me the Showdowns, recorded live on August 21st, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm your host, Godzilla T.
And we're here to talk about just kind of whatever tonight. We don't have a bulletin because Bravo was actually sick yesterday. He didn't get a chance to put one out. But we can probably have a few guesses at what's going to be going on. PAX is next week, of course. So that means a lot more announcements for the Master Chief Collection. We're probably going to see map number 5 officially announced. Whether or not it's going to be Lockout as Frankie has teased, or it's going to be the unannounced map that we're still waiting to see what it is, is still up in the air. But I'm kind of excited. I think primarily because I'm going to be there.
That may have an effect on it. But
just a little bit.
Just a small one.
Just a tiny bit.
I'm excited to see what's, like, if any of these teases are actually going to be what the map is.
You talking about for Lockout?
Yeah, Lockout.
What teases have you seen specifically? Because the only thing I've heard so far is just that Frankie dropped it in a NeoGAF post. I haven't actually seen any screens or anything else really talking about Lockout.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's all I've really seen. But, like, a lot of people are aiming towards that's what they want. And that's what a lot of people are thinking it's going to be. So I'm really I'm hoping that's what it is.
Yeah, me too. As far as what's going to be us going on at PAX, I don't know what else they can really talk about. They did mention that Forge is going to be a feature topic pretty much at PAX. It was supposed to be at Gamescom, but then I think they decided to do a few things differently, and we're going to see a lot more Forge going on at PAX. I know a lot of people want to see some kind of tournament done like it was in Gamescom, do some kind of PAX tournament as well. I don't see that quite happening. I don't think 343 would do tournaments back-to-back quite that soon, but with a big Forge announcement, I think that would be more than enough to cover something of that magnitude.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of custom game people, like Forgers and all that stuff, that are really looking forward to see what we're going to expect to Forge with this time around.
Well, one of the things that Greenskull brought up in his Xbox upload video was a lot of people were asking about Forge. It's really cool to see that the community is so interested about making their own experiences, and especially for Halo 2 Anniversary, since we're going to have Forge enabled for that as well. So you're going to be able to Forge all these new maps. You're going to be able to Forge Sanctuary or Shrine. You're going to be able to Forge Zenith. You're going to be able to Forge the Coagulation remake, which a lot of people are guessing that's going to be the Forge palette map, similar to Forge Island, Forge World, Erosion, Impact, Ravine, those kinds of maps. And yeah, it's definitely big enough.
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of pieces do you think that would put in? Because I've already teased the bridge piece that's going to be in Coagulation. But what other pieces do you think they could add to it? I'm thinking a lot of Forerunner-type building structures.
I'm hoping they will have a little bit more. I don't really know what to think. I hope they throw in a disc. The disc from Halo 4 and Halo Reach. I hope that's something that they go in there. I see a lot of people use that.
You're talking about the satellite dish from Ascension?
The big round thing in the middle.
Yeah, I think that was kind of Ascension, an Ascension piece. I don't know if they would put that in something like Coagulation. But possible. I'm still trying to figure out where they would want to put that bridge. Because I don't think you would have it long enough to go from one hill to the other across the middle. So are they going to make some other significant changes to the map to warrant having the bridge? Or what's going to... I just have a hard time seeing where that bridge piece actually fits in with Coagulation.
I'm sure they're going to surprise us. They always do. I'm sure they're going to throw something in there to where, let it be something Forged that they've done themselves to kind of mix things in with the actual map. But I'm sure that there's going to be a use for it somewhere. But I'm kind of with you. I don't really, it's like just the standalone bridge. I don't really know where that would be.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Godzilla? You have any ideas of what they could possibly do with that? We should have gotten someone Forge on here, like Duquesne or Pete the Duck. Although, I will plug their ForgeCast, because they do talk about it in that show, episode 2 of the ForgeCast. So definitely go take a listen to it. And I bet after the Forge info from PAX Prime, they're going to have another one after that. But sorry for cutting you off, Godzilla. Is he still there?
I don't know. He's not talking.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. There he is.
Mic muted.
Yeah, I forgot. I coughed, and I guess I missed the button when I went to unmute. But from what I've heard from the forging community, the one big thing that they don't want is preformed buildings. So, I would like to see an expanded piece count as far as, different types of wall pieces or, Coliseum wall type pieces to where, the forgers can, create their own buildings. Now, don't get me wrong. They've put the preformed buildings to use, like the staircases and stuff like that. Like on Impact, I haven't seen that many maps that actually use the preformed buildings on that map.
Uh-huh. But as far as what you can do with those kinds of pieces, I know we have a lot of forge palette type pieces in Halo 4. And it's actually, in my opinion, a lot better than it was in Reach just because it wasn't all the same gray and you could have those color options, which actually enhanced a lot of the visual features to it and it didn't seem as bland. So definitely have a lot of those pieces. And most of those forge maps has a set kind of base palette of blocks, ramps, and other miscellaneous shapes. But I think more structure-specific pieces, not just like building blocks, would be a little more enhancing to it. I think if they add a lot of those pieces and not just have certain ones that fit very well with coagulation or the kinds of bases or structures you would see in there and go a little more of just throw whatever they want in there, Fortress would go to town with that stuff.
Maybe I should rephrase that to say more, not necessarily preformed structures, but more building type pieces. And I mean that is like pieces of buildings that they can change up.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with you there because there's a lot of things that we've seen from specific pieces in Impact and Erosion. And I've seen a couple of times where people want to see some of those pieces just be available across all the maps. So take Longbow, for example. There are a very limited number of pieces that you actually have in there from a palette perspective of what fits with the architecture of Longbow. And a lot of forgers just want to see a wider base of forge pieces available across all the maps. So widen that base and then just implement a bunch of additional shapes and structure pieces, like you said. And let people just mess around with them. Even if they don't fit quite right with the rest of the architecture, you can have multiple styles of architecture going on in one map, especially for something as big as coagulation.
There's definitely a lot of room to build there. But I'm with Beowulf. I'm still like to know where they plan on putting that bridge.
I have no idea, dude. It seems pretty cool.
Did they like put a big ditch across the middle of it or what?
Well, there is kind of a natural big ditch across coagulation if you go from one hill to the other across kind of rocket spawn. But it's not, it's really wide. It's really big.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a ditch. That's more like a depression. Fair enough. Did they like put a canyon inside the canyon?
No.
To where you need the bridge?
No.
I mean, it'll probably be useful for building racetracks, and that might be all that they're... all that they're looking to do with that particular piece is to provide walkways or, a smooth type racing surface for the guys that like to build racetracks, stuff like that. It may not have anything really functional in the map, but, it's really hard to say because we don't know how far they're going to take it. And, it may also relate to the interactive element that they plan on putting into coagulation.
Right. And that was another thing that I was going to mention, but you brought it up, was the interactive piece. Because we've already seen interactive elements on Zenith and Shrine. So it's likely we're going to see interactive elements across all the new Halo 2 Anniversary maps. Because I know for me personally, one of the big things from Halo 2 and Halo 3 that I miss was the interactive elements. The switches that you could put around, well, you can't place the switches, but they're around the map and you could use them. So Containment had the big doors that you could pull down. Zanzibar and Last Resort had the guards that you could open for the base. And then there was the classic High Ground one where you open the big bay doors to the back of the base. Just those kinds of elements that change map flow and they're big control points for the map, I think would be really cool. And it seems like that's kind of what they're doing a little bit. Not as much so, I think, with Ascension and Zenith, because those are just more, they're not really altering the flow of the map. They're just changing a couple different tactics for a few seconds. It's not actually changing the dynamic of the map.
Yeah, they're resettable items.
Right.
Where previously, once they were tripped for the whole match.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Maybe they got a big garage door in the back of the box canyon on either side where they hide the tank.
That would be interesting.
And you have to go to the other team's base to open yours.
Okay, that may be a little ridiculous. Just a little bit.
Well, think about it. I mean, that would make it a challenge. I mean,
yeah, but having a switch all the way across the map just to open your door, that doesn't quite make sense.
Well, it drives you into combat, let's put it that way.
Right.
Because if you're headed towards the other base, you're bound to meet somewhere in the middle.
The thing about the switches are they're mostly used as a defense mechanism. They're not usually used as an offensive, unless you are on the offensive team and you get to the switch. So it kind of plays a protective role. So if you're going to put switches in something like coagulation, I would think you would almost have some kind of door or shield. And I mentioned this either on the last podcast or the podcast before, or maybe in talking with somebody, but maybe have a switch to the sunroof for the base. So you can't just drop in from the top. You have to actually go from the back, or you have to come from underneath, unless you hit a switch that's inside and the sunroof opens. Maybe something like that.
Kind of like they did on Zanzibar, where you had to go upstairs to open the switch for the gate.
Kind of, yeah.
Could definitely change up a capture the flag or an assault match.
Definitely. I don't know how much it would, because a lot of the time you just drop down for those flags. But it would be interesting from trying to prevent the teleporter to get out. So maybe the teleporter is a switch or something like that. I don't know. So as far as the actual switches go, though, if it's a bridge element, that I'm still kind of baffled on how that would actually work. So we'll have to see. Judging by from the maps that we'll see at PAX, though, my guess is going to be Lockout. I don't think they're going to unveil the unknown one at this point. And it will be playable on the floor. I'm going to take a big guess at that. Halo 2 Anniversary will be playable at PAX. So I'm going to try to get some hands-on. I'm going to try to get some footage for that as well. And definitely going to try to ask a bunch of questions. So I'm going to try to put a thread up this week in the forums for people to ask questions. I know I have a lot. I need to start writing them down so I don't forget them, because I already have forgotten some of them. But if you guys have any questions for 343 regarding the Master Chief Collection or the Halo 5 multiplayer beta or Nightfall, look for a post coming in the forums sometime this weekend, and definitely post your questions there, because we want to ask as many questions as possible. Whether or not we put that in a podcast form or something completely separate is, we'll have to see how much information we get, but it'll likely just show up in a podcast the next week. And just so you guys know, Beowulf apparently has lost power because tree limbs fell on his power lines.
Nice.
So he will not be here for the rest of the show, unfortunately, but we'll still hold the fort down for him while he's out. Hopefully he'll pop up again in the chat and carry on some conversations in there. One of the other things at Gamescom, though, that was pretty exciting to watch was the Gamescom Showdown. Did you get to watch any of that, Godzilla?
I got to watch the last three matches. Nice. For the finals. I was lucky enough to actually be able to catch those, and my God, did it look beautiful.
I know.
I mean, even on a stream, it looked beautiful. I can't just wait to get it in front of me.
Just that old feeling of Halo, and seeing some of those people thread snipes was completely insane.
I know.
I was watching it while I was doing safety at church. Just to pass the time, because I just stand there and watch people for one service. And I had to keep I had to keep in the excitement, because I just see these blam no scopes and snipes across the map threading it, and Golden Boy and Bravo are going nuts on the stream, and I'm like, I got to contain the excitement.
This is a wonderful picture you're painting for me. I can just Why see this happening. You standing back there watching the stream in the middle of church.
Well, I'm like upstairs on a balcony, so I'm not really still, in the way of anybody.
Well, I mean, you still have to be quiet.
Well, yeah. No one else was none the wiser. For I know. All they knew, people, I was just looking at my phone the whole time. But it was so much fun to watch. I haven't seen that just like head-to-head gameplay in a while for Team. I mean, there was the Halo 2 showdown thing at RTX during the Halo party, and that was a lot of fun to watch. But seeing this on new graphics and seeing pro teams go at it being commentated, it brought back the feels. It brought back the goosebumps.
Definitely. It puts a whole nother spin on the competition when you have that level of player in the matches with the commentary. It was an amazing, amazing show.
Mm-hmm.
They were pulling off stuff that I'm like, you can do that?
I know. They're pros, like, man. That's their job. It's so awesome.
My thumbs don't work that way.
Just seeing the skills and abilities of all these players. And these are European players. These aren't necessarily the top teams in the world as far as like MLG goes. Although that's kind of hard to say because most of the tournaments that they have, you can't really go international. But just watching the UK, the European teams play was outstanding. You saw so much team dynamic and you saw huge deficits that got brought back. So I think the first game you would have watched, which was the second game of the series,
was the comeback.
Was the huge comeback. Literally, I think it was it VWS that was up? I think it was VWS that was... No.
Who won it?
I think VWS did.
Okay. They were up. That would mean they were up 25
was,
to 6.
Was VWS red or blue?
VWS, I believe, was red.
Okay. So, yeah, VWS was up 25 to 6. And TCM came back and tied it 42 to 42 with 5 seconds left. And it was just nuts.
Yeah, it's totally amazing just how they were able to turn that around. I mean, thinking about the level of gameplay you're talking about here, to be able to turn a deficit like that around, because, you know, the other team did not back off. They went out there and they got the kills and caught up. It was, and just to watch it happen, I thought it was gone. I thought they'd lost the match. And then I'm sitting there watching the score and it gets closer and closer and closer. And then next thing you know, they're in the lead. And it's like, where did that come from? It was just awesome.
Sorry for the interruption, guys. We just found out that the bulletin came out, so we took a few minutes to take a look at it. And we got a little recap of what went on during Gamescom. We have some stuff regarding PAX coming up as well. So enough of the random banter. Let's actually talk about the bulletin for this week. Of course, Gamescom, they talked about the championship, and they interviewed the winning team, which was TCM. And they had... if you guys, for those that didn't watch it, first of all, what are you doing listening to this and haven't watched it yet? As far as the finals go, we actually upload the finals to YouTube this, I think yesterday I uploaded it? Yeah. And it's about an hour long. It's a series of 4 games. It was best of 5. And TCM took it 3-1. Lots of cool stuff like we were talking about earlier. Godzilla mentioning all of his excitement, and I was mentioning all my excitement while I was watching it at church. But as far as the interview goes, kind of a typical interview for what you would expect for a pro team from Europe, and a lot of the stuff going on of just trying to play their best and really adapting to kind of the play styles from Halo 2 back in the day. They talked about some of the other teams that were there and how they felt about going up against them. A lot of the European teams are very close friends with each other, judging from the interview, and of course a lot of the US teams are as well, so it's good to see that camaraderie go across ocean lines, which, I mean, it wouldn't not, but just seeing the competitive nature over there, just seeing the friendliness of it, And one of the things I mentioned during, or one of the things I noticed during the streaming is there wasn't as much like smack talking as you would normally see in an MLG or an AGL event. A lot of the European teams, it seemed like they were really level-headed, just there playing the game, not really trying to yell at the other team, which I really respect that. I know there's a big part of the competitive scene where trash talking is a psychological tactic that you use against the other team, but I really respect teams that just play the game for what it is. Just put your skills to the test.
Yeah, same here. I noticed that the, you know, with the lack of the, you know, the smack, you know, them talking smack on each other, and it was a nice turn. Sometimes when I'm watching certain events of this caliber with the smack talk, I think I'm watching a little league game again. It was really nice. It was professional. You know, they were there to have fun in the competition and win, and that's what they did. And it was a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see those kinds of teams come out. I would like to see those guys, and we're actually going to see those teams come over. Well, TCM will see. VWS has a U.S. team that will be over here playing. But it's going to be really cool to have some of the Europeans come over, and I'm going to try to get an interview with those guys because they put on a fantastic show. And one of the questions that they asked during the interview that you can go check up on the bulletin for this week is what their strategy was and how they felt when they were facing a 24-6 deficit in the second game, and then they come back to only lose by one kill. And a lot of them just had marked down that it was all about communication, slowing down and controlling the pace, getting back map control, a lot of those things that you want to really take control of during competitive play. And we'll have to get some competitive folks on here to talk about the competitive side of Halo, because we haven't done that yet for quite some time, talking really in-depth competitive details and strategies for what you want to do and not do in certain situations. So we'll have a podcast about that probably sometime within the next 2 months, because I would really like to sit down with some of those guys and just really iron out what it is to be a Halo player, especially in this day and age, and with the Master Chief Collection coming up, what people's kind of go-tos are going to be, and for tournament's sake, what people are really going to focus on, because Halo 2 Anniversary seems like that's going to be the main focus of Halo tournament play for a while. It's getting that nostalgia base back, because a lot of people fell in love with the competitive scene on Halo for Halo 2. You have a lot of the people coming out of the woodwork because of having all four games available on disc, Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4. And there's a big division between Halo 2 and Halo 3, mostly, for the Master Chief Collection. And I think there's a little more lean towards Halo 2, if I'm not mistaken. But just from the view of having Halo 2 Anniversary there, I think a lot of people are really going to hone in on that, especially for tournaments.
I think it's going to be really good for the tournament scene when it comes to getting Halo back into the rotation. Hopefully you can get everything primed up for Halo 5. You know, maybe the Master Chief Collection may or may not make the MLG circuit again, but hopefully it'll prime, get the competitors ready for maybe, you know, Halo 5 returning to MLG or one of the other gaming conferences. So I think it'll be a good thing for us.
I hope it brings back some kind of competitive season style tournament, because the casting that Bravo and Golden Boy did for the Gamescom Showdown was just, it was so invigorating and so amazing to watch. And we had up to, I want to say 16 or maybe over 16,000 viewers for the finals on the Twitch stream, which was amazing. Granted, it's not anything like StarCraft or League or those kind of other big games that are out there that get 250K, but it's a start. It's still one of the bigger numbers that you'll see on Twitch for a stream.
It's still a lot of bodies watching a stream, yes.
Yeah, so what's going to be going on for here on out for tournaments? I would love to see more tournaments. Something like a pro circuit come back. That would be so awesome. I really want to see that again.
I'm sure there's a lot of pros out there who would like to come back to Halo. You know, I understand that they had to step away from it because there was no competition in it, because there was no, you know, sanctioning body using the Halo game for competition. So I'd be glad to see it make it back in there so these guys can come back and play Halo, because I know that they love the game, because they would have never started to compete in it if they didn't love the game to begin with.
Right. Let's see. Taking a look at the rest of the bulletin in here, they talk about PAX Prime for a little bit. We got a panel coming up on it's August still. August 30th on a Saturday. And it's at 11 a.m. and it's the Halo and the Journey of Master Chief panel, where they're going to be talking about more of the Master Chief collection. And they say in here upcoming projects and releases. I'm going to go on the safe side and assume that's just talking about Nightfall, the Master Chief collection, and Halo 5 Guardians. But it's still kind of interesting that they say projects and releases. So I don't know if there's going to be something else that they're going to talk to as well. I say the possibility is there, although I think that's just wishful thinking. Taking a look at some of the rest of the PAX stuff, though, we have another tournament, contradictory to what I said earlier, which I didn't think they would do a tournament this quickly around, but they are, it turns out. The PAX Prime Showdown, not the Gamescom Showdown, but the PAX Prime Showdown, is going to be taking place over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're inviting 5 Halo Pro teams, Straight Rippin', which comprises of Elamite, Snipe Down, Ace, and Strongside. Ace, that for you guys will remember, was the Halo 4 Global Championship from last year. He was the Halo 4 Global Champion from last year, pardon. And he was really cool to talk to. We actually sat down with him, did about a 20-minute interview a couple weeks after that over Skype. And you can actually go and find that. Really cool dude to just chill and talk with. And really looking forward to see what he's going to do for Halo 2 Anniversary. We have Triggers Down, which is composed of Hines, Hysteria, Fear Itself, and Lethal. We have VWS USA. So this isn't the same VWS team that was over in Gamescom. This is actually a different set of teammates. But it's comprised of Goofy, McWin, Nated, and Legit. Darkest Hour, which is composed of Elamite, Kobe's Too Fast, Wolfmane. Okay, sorry. Tongue twister there. And Frosty. And then TCM, and this was the champion of the Gamescom Showdown, and that's Ramirez, Too Foxy, Riots, and Chalky. So those are the 5 teams that are going to be invited to play in the PAX Prime Showdown, but that leaves 3 spots open for the 8-spot showdown that they're having in there. So we're actually, for the people that are going to PAX Prime, have the chance to fill in one of those 3 spots. So on Friday, there's going to be qualifiers at the Astro Gaming and Skull Candies booth, and you'll be able to play in 4v4 matches. And more details will be that on how you actually qualify will be there at PAX. I don't know if there's going to be similar to how they've done it for the Halo 4 Global Champions, where you have you're like in the pool play, and you kind of go up until you get eliminated, so you have to register, and then throughout Friday you slowly play your games. So that would mean it's probably a limited registration as well. So if you're going to PAX and you want to play, make sure you get there early enough to sign up. And I already have people in there saying Team Podtacular in the chat room, headed by Hossost. And I've been volunteered for the team, so we'll see how that goes. If anyone else wants to volunteer for the team, I'm sure Hossos will put a thread together on the forum, so make sure you go and check it out and sign up there. But for the qualifiers, it's going to be done on Friday, and then the finals are going to be taking place over Saturday and Sunday. So over the 8 teams that will be there, it's going to be a best-of-5 bracket for all of the matches, and they're all going to be streamed, which is why it's taking Friday and Saturday. Most of the stuff that you're going to see on there will be really fun to watch. I'm sure it will be just as fun as Gamescom was. Although there were some teams that weren't quite as kind of like high caliber as some of the other pro teams I'm used to watching. But it was still fun to watch nonetheless, because it is going back to Halo 2 style gameplay, going to that nostalgia feeling of Halo. So that's going to be simply amazing just to play.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm chomping at the bit just to get my hands on it.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. This is like November can't come soon enough. 2.5 months away.
Yes.
Anyways.
At least it's not.
Sorry.
Go on. Go on.
I was just going to say, for the finals, I'm assuming they're going to do something similar to what they did for the global championship. I don't know if... I didn't see anywhere in here a specific venue listed. Because the main theater for PAX this year is at Ben Royal Hall. So they're not going to be able to do it there if that's where they were planning on doing the tournament. So, I don't see on here where they're talking about showing the finals. Do you see it, Godzilla? Anyone in the chat see that? If you do...
These are taking place Saturday and Sunday on the Halo Twitch channel.
Yeah, that's where they're streaming it, but where are they actually playing it? Like, if you're there, where are you watching?
Main stage?
Does it say main stage?
Doesn't say which one.
Well, main stage has been a Royal Hall. Does it say main stage in the bulletin? Because I'm trying to skim through and I don't see it.
When they're talking about the stream.
Best of five brackets will all be streamed on the main stage. Wow. So wait, if the main stage has been a Royal Hall, but PAX is using it as main stage, then they have that whole block of Saturday and Sunday? That seems kind of weird.
No.
Hang on. Main theater. No, main stage was something different because main theater is Ben Royal Hall. I'm sure we'll find out next week. Anyways, it's going to be fun to watch nonetheless. You can guarantee I will be there in the stands watching, cheering on, and hopefully nab some people for interviews for the following weeks afterwards as well. And of course, if you want to play Halo 2 Anniversary in the Master Chief Collection and you're at PAX, you'll be able to head over to the Xbox booth and they'll have consoles there where you can play it as well. Hopefully, just like the people that were going to Gamescom, we can actually get some footage of it. That would be nice. So I'll have to talk to 343 folks and see if there's a way to capture footage. I'll be taking my capture card with me and my laptop to get some footage, hopefully. And if we do that, we'll definitely post it up on our YouTube channel.
Definitely be good to see some more footage, especially if they have a new map next at the next show.
Right, which Lockout or whatever new map that they're going to talk about. Lockout seems to be probably what they're going to do, especially since this is a 4v4 tournament and Lockout would be actually good for a 4v4 map. I would personally like to see the last map they haven't announced yet be a bigger map, so that's why I'm leaning towards they're going to talk about Lockout a little bit more. Or maybe Zanzibar. Maybe they'll throw in the Zanzibar map and take a little closer look at that map too.
Could. They could throw the one flag or one bomb in there for the tournament.
They could. I would definitely like to see that because one bomb and one flag are game types that I just miss from Halo, especially from it being left out of Halo 4. So we could definitely see a lot more for Zanzibar. We could see that in the tournament, or we could see Lockout in there as well. And if PAX is going to be a big location for talking about Forge, then I bet we're going to see a lot more details come out about Coagulation as well. Unless for some reason that last map is going to be more of a Forge map, then we'll see a lot of details come out about Forge. That would be ridiculous.
I'm just trying to think what other map would be big for Forge in Halo 2.
As kind of like a Forge palette? That one's hard. Yeah. I guess there's not really many other ones because Coagulation does kind of have that just box canyon feel to it. And yeah, there's not really many other ones that I can think of that would be just wide open like that for foraging capabilities. Relic's pretty open, but it's just open space kind of outside the map. Containment's kind of open, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Waterworks is inside a cave, so that wouldn't work too well. Yeah, I guess that would really be the only map that you could really just go to town with Forge on.
Still going to be interesting to find out.
You know, it'd be funny if we had a Ghost of Lockout for Halo 2 Anniversary.
You know, I finally watched that video.
Oh, did you?
About 5-6 months ago. I always heard about it, but every time I went to, you know, get on YouTube or something, you know, I got distracted by, you know, the new shiny thing up there in the corner. And yeah. I finally watched it, and I'm like, that was just so weird. And then to actually have them capture it, my first instinct was they found some way to fake it, which still, a possibility, but it was still weird.
Yeah, it was a little funny. It was a network glitch from what I read up on. I don't remember the exact details, but it is kind of just a weird glitch in the game, I think, supposedly. Someone else can look that up and verify for me. It's those nostalgia things, though, that just kind of sticks with you.
Well, they say they're bringing it back just as it was, so the ghost may return. Data with the dedicated servers.
The only thing is, though, you have, although the physics engines are kind of being unaltered for the classic modes of the game, you still have a complete overhaul of the netcode because you are doing it over a new Xbox Live system.
I know. With the new with being on the dedicated servers, on the new networks, stuff like that. If it happens, it's going to be a one in a billion fluke.
Yeah,
I just don't. I don't see that type of stuff happening because of the technology that has been developed between Halo 2's original release and today.
Uh-huh.
So those type of network type bugs, we're not going to see them. It would be neat to see it happen again, but no.
Yeah. Someone mentioned in the chat room Headlong for the Forge map. The one thing with Headlong is it has buildings that are in there. You want something that's basically a completely open canvas for you to forge in. So it would not really work that well for a Forge map. It'd be cool to have a lot of Forge pieces on there and really work with making different ramps and things like that. It would really function well as a racetrack if you had a lot of Forge pieces that you could put on the map, but it just doesn't work out as a Forge map in for what I think 343 is looking to do with it. Going back to the bulletin, though, that kind of covers a lot of the stuff. Kind of brief. They just talk about the Gamescom showdown, doing a recap there. They also did an ALS challenge. So for those that don't know, Lou Gehrig's disease is a degenerative muscle disease where once diagnosed, you have about 2 to 5 years before you just go completely paralyzed and you have to be put on life support. And then after a while, you just pass away because it attacks voluntary muscle movement. Well, not necessarily attacks, but if it affects voluntary muscle movement, and then it goes and you spiral down pretty much. It's really sad to hear and talk about, but there's this ALS challenge that's been going around where people dump buckets of water on them, ice water, and they make a donation to ALS for research purposes. So they got challenged by Ghost Ayame and Neighbor, who were actually in a video that they posted. But it's Bonnie Ross, Keith Key Wolfkill, Den Ayub, Josh Holmes, Ghost Ayame, and Neighbor in this video of them doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. And they actually challenged a few other industry people out there as well, including Steve Downs and Jin Taylor. And it was really fun to watch. You got a big kick out of it, right, Godzilla?
Oh, I loved it, especially the ending.
Yeah, so at the very end, Beamish comes out. And if you don't know who Beamish is, he's basically the space mop guy played by Frankie in Forward Into Dawn. So he comes out and sweeps up all the ice. So it's just a really cool cameo by Frankie. And he has this look of frustration on him. It's like, gosh, you guys are at it again. Kind of look to him, and he comes out with a broom and starts sweeping it up. I was so ready to just see a bucket of water fall on him.
Same here. I'm like, okay, where's the prank?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still a good ending, but I was waiting for the bucket of water myself.
Yeah. Maybe next time. Maybe someone will challenge him to do it, and maybe he'll do it in a separate video.
Good, yes.
We shall see. And of course, on the bulletin to wrap up, as we always do, screenshot of the week. This screenshot spotlight is for classic maps. They were doing race 2 weeks ago because they didn't do a bulletin for last week. So this one, I don't know exactly what classic maps means for this because although there's some resemblance of some of the older maps, some of them just don't look like they fit exactly. Like the Narrows ones just seems really weird. The working on corners, I'm not sure exactly what that is from. But some of the other ones look, I mean, are familiar somewhat. They just look really weird. But out of the ones that are there, I'm going to go with Sanctuary by Heroic by Tico Demon. The screenshot is actually called Sanctuary by Heroic. So I'm going to go with that one and Space Zanzibar by Mr. Martini 85.
Let's see here. I like this Space Zanzibar. The Sanctuary, let's see. Oh, Sanctuary H2 by Naxon-y. I kind of like the black and white effect, but
okay.
Honestly, my favorite one, and this is, you'd have to be a red versus blue fan to get this one, but why are we here? I know
which one you're talking about. Yep. Hey, yeah. You ever wonder why we're here? Good stuff. So that's been the bulletin for this week. We hope to see you guys at PAX for those listening. And if you're at PAX, we're going to have some swag for you guys. I'm actually getting a couple of shipments in here over the weekend, and some of them are actually being shipped up to a friend in Washington because of manufacturing times. There's going to be lanyards, wristbands, buttons, and t-shirts for everyone that's going to be there. So if you're at PAX, make sure you hit me up, get some swag, and we'll get together and possibly get that team going for Halo 2 Anniversary for the PAX Prime Showdown. We'll see how Haas manages to pull together all the teammates for that. And someone mentioned doing the Pod Tackling Meetup. I don't know if we have that many people going specifically that's Pod Tackler related. So maybe next year as we kind of build the community up again. If you're there, though, make sure you hit me up.
You can all meet up at the panel.
That's true. Go. So make sure you're there at the panel. Remember, it's 11 o'clock on Saturday morning at the main theater, which I believe that's been the Royal Hall. Do it. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Nothing much big to talk about. We didn't have any big tangents for this week, and Beowulf dropped off. He's having power issues. So thank you again, guys, for tuning in. Hopefully we're able to fill your ears with some good stuff for a little bit. Remember, you can check us out on our website, podtackler.com. And while you're there, head on over to our forums. We have lots of good discussions going on, and we had quite a few threads going when Gamescom was out and all those announcements regarding the Halo channel, which just looks pretty awesome. The new map for Shrine, that announcement, or it's the remake of Sanctuary. And then, of course, kind of an expansion of what's going to be going on for the Halo 5 multiplayer beta. Lots of good information coming out of Gamescom. And if you missed any of those videos, most of them are up on our YouTube channel, and you can find that by just going to podtackler.com/YouTube. If we have anything, you can just do podtackler.com/that thing. And if we have it, then that'll redirect to it. So same thing for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, all that jazz. And speaking of Twitch, make sure you guys check out our game nights. I don't know exactly how I got that association, but check out our game nights. They're on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tactical Tuesday, which is our matchmaking night, is on Tuesdays. And then Wacky Wednesdays, which is our custom nights, is on Wednesdays. And we're going to be putting up a couple servers here for the PC side of Halo for those PC-enabled players. We're going to have a couple of Halo CE, a couple of Halo PC, and a couple of Halo 2 Vista servers going up for you guys probably sometime in the middle of next month. There's a thread on our forums for recommendations of maps and game types to be putting on each server. I believe I have two servers for PC, three servers for CE, and two servers for Vista. So make sure you guys head on over there, and any kind of game type map combinations you want to see, please drop us a line over in the forums. We would really appreciate it.
And same for Halo 3 and Halo Reach. Still looking for more custom games for Halo 3 and Halo Reach, so we can add those to the rotation for our Wacky Wednesdays.
You heard the man. Go do it. Is there a thread up in the events for events forum for that?
Yes, there is.
All right. So make sure you guys head on over there. We'll be talking about another topic of the week. Not next week, because we'll be at PAX, obviously, and not the week after as well. But sometime very soon, we'll be doing another topic of the week, because there is a lot of thread forum topics going up that should be discussed. Also, make sure you check out the podcast network. That is podka.st. And over there on that network are shows like Guardian Radio, which is the Destiny podcast, which comes out in not too long. It comes out in 3 weeks, not too long away. And then there is Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast. There is Reachcast, which is a Planet Side 2 podcast, and then there's also How to Murder Time. So if you guys are looking for some other entertaining podcasts to go listen to, definitely check those out. And I mentioned earlier on the show the Forgecast, which is hosted by Pete the Duck, Knockyard, Duquesne23, and Psycho Duck. They have two episodes up so far, and they're probably going to have another episode up after PAX or during PAX, because it's supposed to be a heavy Forge convention for Halo, from what a lot of people are saying and what 343 is talking about. So make sure you check them out. There isn't a website for it, but if you just search for Forgecast on iTunes, you'll be able to find it. Or you can head on over to PeteTheDuck.com, and there's a section over there for the Forgecast that you can also listen to it on the webpage. Make sure you check out our website for some links to help out the website. Being a part of the community and watching us on the live stream, downloading us on the show, and participating in game nights is awesome, and we really appreciate guys for that. But if you want to give back a little something extra to the community and to the website and kind of helping offset some of the costs, then feel free to head on over and click the donate button on our site, or you can use our Amazon affiliate link by just clicking on either the Halo Master Chief Collection image or the Halo 2 Vista image. And you can go ahead and pre-populate a cart for on Amazon, and then you can just kind of click through that, go to your cart, and then check out, and they'll get a small percentage of the purchase back to us that will help support the cost of Podtacular, keep the lights on over here, and we'll keep on producing awesome podcast content for you guys. I dropped a hint in the forums on someone's introductory thread earlier this week as well. Something that is somewhat related to what Hot Sauce is kind of doing tonight in recruiting people for a specific something or other. More information about that coming up in kind of the October timeframe, a little bit closer to the launch of the Master Chief Collection. But with that said, there are going to be ways coming up very soon, and I know I've been telling this for a while, but lots of things are going to be changing after PAX Prime, because I won't be traveling anymore. I'll have a lot of time to focus on stuff and opportunities for people to help out with the community, opportunities for people to get involved are going to be abounding and plentiful. And we want you guys to kind of help spread the word about Podtacular, get some people over here on the live stream, just in the forums talking about stuff, participating in the game nights. And I think you've had some pretty good turnouts lately, right, Godzilla?
Yeah, actually, last night we had a real good turnout. We came really close to coming to a full lobby. I think at one point we had 11 people in. Had a blast.
That's awesome.
And I got to give a shout out to the guys over at Podcast Evolved. 2 weeks ago, they crashed our Wacky Wednesdays. Great bunch of people. A lot of fun to play the games with. They had a lot of fun. They were talking about it on their podcast. So, you know, just wanted to give them a shout out. You great group of people. Get my tongue off my IT so I can see what I'm saying. But anyway, great group of people. Look forward to having them come back and join us on our game nights. If
That's
you guys
Crucifer's group, ever, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, he just started following us on Twitter, so that interesting coincidence.
Yeah, actually, since Drew has followed me with his personal tag and his Podcast Evolved tag, I've picked up 20 followers on Twitter. I would like to thank everybody that has followed me so far, and I hope that you enjoy the content that comes in my tweets, including the misspelled ones.
Nice. Yeah, those are plentiful, as I happily point them out to you.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, Drucifer actually got a hold of me a little while ago before he started doing Podcast Evolved, and I gave him some tips about things to do for the podcast, and I've actually been meaning to go over and listen to it. I just haven't had the time with working on the Halo Mole and trying to keep up with all the convention stuff. I do plan on listening to it very soon. I'm so far behind on a lot of things right now. I'm trying to keep up on the more to-date stuff, and then some of the other stuff is kind of falling to the wayside at the moment. But I know Drucifer is doing a really good job out there, and people are really starting to kind of go over there as well. And one other podcast that I want to point out that's kind of a new and upcoming. The name escapes me right now, but it's a podcast run by Uh-Oh Oreo, who is a longtime community person. He and I actually came on to Pod Tackler about the same time. So he's not in the chat room, I think, too, which kind of sucks. But you guys should check him out. I think it's A Halo something, but I can't remember at the moment.
We'll have to get a hold of him and get him on here to talk about it.
I know. Well, we'll need to get Drew Sever and Ori to come on and talk about their podcast. We have actually a few other podcasters to really come on and talk as well. We've been wanting to get Wang Time on here for a while. It's just between scheduling things, it's never seemed to work out. We actually had him scheduled a few weeks ago, but then a couple of emergency things came up for him, so he couldn't make it. But we do have plans to have a lot of different people on here, and September and October time frames are going to be the big ones. If you guys remember, too, we were actually supposed to have Certain Affinity on the show this week, but because of all the stuff that they're doing with conventions, they just didn't have the time suit to. So they'll be on probably late September on here as well, talking about the Master Chief Collection. So that'll be a big one for you guys to come back and take a listen to.
I'll be here.
Yay. Let's hope Biowolf is here as well. Need to get the internet fixed, Bio, if you're still listening. So, what are you talking about, Paul? I'm taking you to a fancy seafood dinner and then calling you back the next day. I'm confused. Anyways, random tangent. I'm going to be the RUL bus driver once again this year. Last year, I rented a Tahoe, and I was basically an airport shuttle to and from the airport to downtown Seattle for Wednesday and Thursday. One of the reasons I got it is because if you go there early enough, Thursday is really a really good day to just go and do some sightseeing in Seattle if you've never been there before. And it's really cool just to kind of go down on Pike Place Market, see what's there, and just kind of be tourists for a change before the craziness and insanity that is PAX starts. And that is one of the coolest things of actually going to Seattle is while you are there for PAX, just going to see some of the local stuff there is really cool. And Pike Place Market is actually not that far from the convention center. It's maybe about a 15-minute walk. And if you're at one of the hotels that the convention has partnered with, then it's really not that far. You can get to a lot of interesting locations from downtown Seattle, especially along the boardwalk, Pike Place Market, and there's a couple little cool shops that are there as well. You can go to Space Needle, you can go to the baseball stadium that's there, and if you have someone that can drive you around, you can get to a lot of different cool places. So if you're there at PAX and going on Thursday, make sure you hit me up, and there may be if there's some spots to get you to come, if we're driving anywhere, then we'll definitely do that for you guys. And I'm looking forward to the third annual Rude Barbecue, and hopefully it will be I hope we're doing Lars Cup again this year. I think we are, but it will be the last Lars Cup, so the abundance of chocolate is going to be insane. I'm so looking forward to it.
Dust will be in a chocolate-induced coma for the next month.
Oh, definitely. They have some really good chocolate. It's one Lars from we have a Norwegian Lars, and then we have a German Lars. So they bring their chocolate, and for the past 2 years, we've had this contest of who has the best delectable treats, as Grimbrother One likes to put it. So I think we're actually doing it again this year. Lars Bakken from Bungie may be there. Heavy emphasis on May. But the Lars Cup, I think this is going to be the last time that it will be happening, because German Lars will not likely be coming back to a PAX Prime for quite some time. So for anyone that knows him, yeah. Well, I mean, finances and school and all that stuff just kind of sucks every now and then. Well, no, it just sucks, period.
Yeah. Day-to-day life for me. I understand.
Pretty much. But yeah, PAX is going to be a blast. For those that are going, who are listening to this, if it's your first time at PAX, take it all in. I would recommend really taking Friday to go around, see what's there, just going and getting that full PAX experience. Definitely check out the PAX schedule that's up on their website and look into the panels that you want to go to, and make sure that you're in line at least 30 minutes before any panel starts. And if it's a big panel, especially when that's in the main theater, you'll want to line up about an hour and a half before they start. And you will want to take water bottles. You will want to take snacks with you. The convention food is expensive. There are a few restaurants that are close by that you can get by with, but it's always nice to have some water and something to nibble on, especially while you're waiting in lines. And you don't want to get dehydrated, and you don't want to be malnourished and just not eat anything. So definitely hit up a CVS or a pharmacy that you can pick up some snacks to nibble on and just take those with you. If you guys have battery packs that you can take with you, I would recommend taking those, because especially for cell phones and other portable electronics that rely on cell signal, like tablets, iPads, that kind of stuff, batteries will drain super quickly. So definitely take a battery with you if you have the chance to. And there's a laundry list of things, really. Molten Slow actually has a checklist, and it's a lot more extensive, just because he's actually a PAX guardian, and he's put together this big list of things you should remember to pack, and the things I just list off is kind of an abbreviated list, but I believe he has that list over on HBO somewhere. If you do a search, I think you'll be able to find it. I am in the Red Line, what used to be the Red Line Hotel, Paul, so I'll be close to you guys. I'll just be rooming with the Griffball folks this year. Maybe next year I'll be with the RUL folks again. I didn't this year because I was supposed to try to room with Annie if I get a hold of him, but he didn't get a hold of me in time. So I just hitched it with the Griffball folks for this year. But we're all in the same hotel. The Red Lion Hotel, or what used to be called the Red Lion Hotel, is actually under new management. They're honoring all the reservations. And one of the cool things about the Red Lion Hotel, I guess this is going to be the huge tangent for the podcast, but one of the cool things about the Red Lion Hotel is there's a restaurant in the bottom of the hotel called Elephant and Castle. And it's been kind of a tradition for the past 3 years or so that our last meal together on the last day of PAX is at Elephant and Castle. And we have a huge group of Halo people go and just chill out in one of the back party rooms. And there's a pool table down there. There's a dartboard. There's an arcade thing there, I think, as well. And it's just a lot of fun to chill, talk to people, talk Halo, talk anything nerdy, gaming, all that stuff, Cards Against Humanity. It's super fun. So I definitely recommend, if anyone out there is planning on going to a convention of any sort, I would highly recommend PAX Prime if you can get tickets. That's the only downside, is because getting tickets is almost near impossible to do. But it will be one of the best things that you can go to from a community perspective, because that's where Halo's made. It's out there kind of close to Seattle. You'll be able to meet up with a bunch of Halo people there. You'll be able to meet with a bunch of Halo fans and see a lot of cool Halo cosplay, people in Spartan costumes, people in Elite. There's a couple Elites. Grunts, a whole bunch of weapon props as well. So check it out if you have a chance to go. I would highly, highly, can't say this enough, highly recommend going to it.
Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I know I'm telling this thing that is super good and you can't go, but it's a lot of fun.
Yes, you make me feel so good.
I'm sorry. I'll step off my podium for now and I'll wrap up the podcast.
It's good to hear those. It's good to hear those stories. It's nice to hear that, you know, you get to meet the rest of the Halo community and have some fun with them. You know, I'm stuck in the middle of the country, not near anything. I am hoping to make it to RTX next year, just so I can meet some of the community. You know, meet, of course, you know, everybody from Podtacular that goes. So, you know, it's great to hear them stories.
RTX is a good one to go to. It's a lot more community based, but the thing about RTX is it is small. It's a smaller convention, smaller expo, so it's a lot easier to get into. Tickets don't sell out nearly as fast, but it's geared a lot more towards what Rooster Teeth is focused on. So there are Halo pieces there, but sometimes it's not as big a presence as it is at some of these bigger conventions like PAX, like San Diego Comic-Con, like Gamescom.
Mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, I'd love to go to PAX, or, well, I would like to go to Comic-Con if it was somewhere else. But, you know, I'd love to go to, you know, PAX Prime or, you know, PAX East, someplace like that. Unfortunately, that's not just not in the realm of my budget.
Got it. To each his own. It's hard to get out to some of these conventions. I understand that. And the only reason I've really been going all these years is because I got invited to go to Halo Fest and be on a panel. So that was kind of the start of my convention career, so to speak, of going to a bunch of these things. It's a lot of fun, though. Meeting all the Halo community people. That was Halo Fest was the first time I met Green Skull when he was just doing the group Goldberg machines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wasn't quite that big on YouTube yet, but that was where he got us lost. There's the infamous story there. So if you go back 3 years of podcasts and go listen to whenever PAX 11 podcast was, then you'll hear the story about how Green Skull got us lost.
I may have to go dig that one up.
It's good stuff, man. It really is. But I'm going to step off my soapbox for now and go ahead and wrap this show up. I already said all the outro bits, but just to reiterate, make sure you check us out on all our social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Make sure you check out our game nights hosted by none other than the fine Godzilla Todd. And hey-o. I will be coming back to those in September when I'm not as crunch mode for PAX or covering for Gamescom.
Oh, are you busy doing something?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's called Halo Mole. It rules my life. Anyways, if you want more information about that, head on over to thehalomole.com. Plug. There's also the forums that you guys should go check out if you're not already a member over there. Make sure you head on over there, podtogether.com/forums. And, of course, you can listen to us live Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, where we talk about the latest and greatest in Halo news, events, conventions, and whatnot. That'll be it for us tonight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. For those who are here on the live stream, sorry for the giant pause while we read the bulletin that came out. We will see you guys next week, but we will not be doing a live show. I'm going to try to do a recording with BioWolf on Wednesday night or maybe Thursday night, depending on how it goes, but it will not be live. But we will have a show next week. We will not have a show the week after because I will be at home visiting my parents. Until next week, hope you guys have a good one. Hope to see you at PAX. If you do, hit me up on Twitter, and we'll see you there. Keep on fragging tournament showdowns.
Keep on fragging lockout remakes.